The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Diane Anderson standing by. We'll talk with her in a couple of minutes. Another event going on for tonight. Brad Bennington, the Builders Association of Southern Oregon. How you doing there, Brad? You wanted to weigh in on education and the, trying to get kids out of college and getting them into the trades. I know that'd be part of your dog in the fight, so to speak. What are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill, what an interesting conversation we're having nationally, you know, about the idea that, okay, so the kids have gone out and borrowed however many trillion dollars that it is, and now the education that they purchased is not, in other words, they borrowed all this money thinking that there was going to be a nice big fat job at the end of the rainbow, which turned out not to be the case. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at all of the people that are on my side of the fence, people that went to work right out of high school earning money. So they're looking to those people to pay off the loans that they're not going to pay.
Yeah, it's more than just a little bit irritating. And I'm hoping that, of course, like Jobs Creator Network Foundation, I was talking with Elaine Parker, you know, about that earlier this morning. I'm hoping that they continue to fight against that. I mean, if you want to have Congress involved in something like that, okay, maybe we can have this this sort of discussion. But the idea that the people who did not go to college are going to be paying for those who did, who have been unwise with their decisions on how much to borrow, doesn't really sit well with most folks, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, Bill, you're a dad, so that you know that our kids, most of our kids, just got sold a bill of goods. You know, I mean, who knows what you're doing when you're 17, 18 years old?
Yeah, right? I know, but my daughter has conducted herself in her 20s with the assumption that loan was always going to be figured. It was going to be forgiven. She always figured that loan was going to be forgiven. And that's pretty much the political circles that she has run around, because she's not a conservative, all right? She's not a conservative, and the way that generation is thinking is that it's just a matter of time before it's forgiven. They're kind of working their life this way. I mean, at least people of her political persuasion are thinking that is just baked in the cake. That's the way they're looking at it.
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, right now there is so much opportunity in the vocational world. It's huge. You know, the starting wage in the vocational world right now is north of $20 an hour. So you got two guys that are graduating high school. You got Bob and Jim. So Bob, he goes to the counselor, says, "I don't know what I want to do." The counselor says, "That's okay. Just sign right here and you can go to college." And he starts borrowing money, and we know that it takes an average of 6 years to graduate a four-year program. So he's borrowing, let's say he's borrowing $20,000 a year for 6 years.
Oh, yeah, he's close to $120,000 in debt.
Yeah.
Now, see, you know, you make the case on why young men and women should be going into the trades. You make this case because you're going to be farther ahead by going into a good trades-oriented job. Here is the challenge that the trades are having here, Brad, and I don't know if this is something you can address or not. They have the culture does not consider them high-status employment, though, because the culture is all about the sheepskin still. How do you change that, you think? What do you think would be, you know, the way? It is not considered a high-status employment to be in the trades.
Reality is going to change it, because poverty is a real thing.
You think poverty will be the motivator. Okay, maybe you're right.
You have millions and millions of young people with staggering debt. And because of the lending laws being the way that they are, we have millions of young people that can't even qualify to get a mortgage on a home, because all of that non-performing debt is now counted against them for credit purposes.
That's a very interesting point. I hadn't considered that. Hmm. All right.
So you look at the two fellows we already talked about, the kid that went to college. Now, the other guy, he goes to work right out of school. He gets a job. The minimum paying job right now is $40,000 a year. So he gets a job right out of high school earning $40,000 a year. And in the world that we live in, the better you get at what you do, the more money you get paid. Mm-hmm. So his first year he earns 40 grand. The next year he earns 45. The next year after that he earns 50, and so on. So 6 years later, when his friend is $120,000 in debt, this other young man has earned close to a third of $1 million. He's got a stable job. He's gotten married. He's got a home. He might even have, you know, a boat and some snowmobiles and things like that. And he's building equity. and he is so far financially. His friend, even if his friend that went to college, even if he does get a job, it's going to take him 10 years just to pay off the debt before he makes a single dime of actual earnings.
Mm-hmm.
And that
now you're making the economic case. Economic case, but I have to tell you, the status problem within the trades is a problem, and that's going to have to be addressed. They're going to have to start talking about a way to raise that status. I'm talking about the intangibles of it. Okay, the intangible of it, because you're making a perfectly logical economic play. You're right about the economics. You are absolutely right about that. But non-logical side of it is still college. You know that, right? You do understand that.
I do. But again, you know, the reality of poverty for these kids is compelling. I mean, you look at the trillions of dollars of non-performing debt, and it's just it's crushing the economic futures of our young people.
All right. Well, then the culture needs to be changed in pronto that, a family working with no debt is far preferable to what you're talking about, the debt slavery in the college system. Okay. All right. Got to go here, but thank you for the call there. I'm okay with it, but, like I said, the tradespeople, and they're right. They're telling the truth that it makes perfect economic sense. But status, you know, people, you know, go into certain careers for more than just money sometimes. And the college educated side of it still has more status. It may be misplaced status. But anyway, Diane, we'll talk about that here and more.
I'd like to comment on
that. Diane Anderson with me. She's putting on another event tonight, Central Point Library, 5:30, right?
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk about what she's going to be talking about, food and more, and more about the Marxist communist takeover, climate-friendly, equitable communities, you know, all those kind of things. And I'm sure that Governor Brown will probably, find out where Sam lives, Diane lives, and then yank any grant that's going to fix a water system by her. I mean, it's because of Diane. All right?
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
In 2005, John and Dan acquired Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, from their fathers. More important than the assets was the cherished family business name. The cousins still work hard every day to honor the name passed down from over a century, symbolizing the values and tradition the Drakes built before them. At Drake's Paint, you get top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain, and a legacy of service and value preserved for generations. Drake's Paint, your only locally owned paint store in Medford and Grants Pass.
Most of us have a love-hate relationship with our insurance companies, especially listeners in California. Insurers there are worried about wildfires and floods, and they're canceling homeowners' policies. But now you can get canceled literally out of the blue, even if you don't live in California. I'm Kim Commando, brought to you by NetSuite. Attention business owners, get a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program at netsuite.com/Kim. A growing number of home insurance companies are canceling or refusing to insure thousands of customers after using drones to photograph homes. The drones expose damaged roof shingles, backyards full of combustible junk, overhanging tree branches, and you're going to love this, swimming pools and trampolines homeowners fail to tell the insurance companies about. An invasion of privacy? Probably not. Almost all of America has been cataloged from the air. Remember, if it's out in the open, you can legally photograph it, exactly what the insurers are doing. Join 500,000 folks who get TechSmart with my free newsletter. Sign up at getkim.com. Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends, the more money you can keep. Obvious, right? Except that with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, it's harder than ever to maintain good profit margins. That's why smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. It brings your accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. Reduce IT costs instantly. NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there are no local servers or software to maintain. Plus, having a unified business management suite cuts the cost of having multiple systems and improves efficiency. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/Kim right now. netsuite.com/Kim. netsuite.com/Kim.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Every now and then I talk with Diane Anderson, and she's co-author of Who Made American Schools Marxist Training Centers. And she puts on these little seminars because she's wanting to educate people about, the way things really are. And, well, Sam, you're doing another event tonight, and it's going to be 5:30 Central Point Library, right?
Okay. Yes. It's more or less what's not on your menu, what's not going to be on your table, what you won't be cooking in the future. And I wanted to go back to the primary documents and the primary organizations that are going to want to spell out the future food for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's more than just eating the mealworms by the World Economic Forum type
people, right? And it's the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization that even admits to the various changes they want to make, including the consumption of insects.
Yeah, well, the kind of thing that and the part I'm kind of wondering, and maybe other people listening are wondering too here, Sam, and how do they plan to implement that here? Because technically we still have some modicum of free choice right now, and a lot of free market choice at this point.
All right.
Is it the idea of bring on the crisis so this way we can do the amazing reset that gets talked about within the bowels of these organizations?
As far as strategy, I've seen the state of Oregon talk about demand management of traffic control, so there must be something set aside so that we just don't see those kinds of products that are unsustainable in the grocery stores.
As they define them.
Of course, it's all meat, including dairy, beef. They consider a milk cow beef.
So this is going back to my talk last week with Glenn Archambault. Glenn Archambault,
yes.
The elected farm services rep, was talking about how, yes, Oregon is at war with agriculture.
Yes,
and with the ability of people to feed themselves. I don't know. I could almost see that there's just going to have to. Maybe they'll just end up being open defiance against these ideas.
That's about the only way I see it. If they have that CAFO, contained animal, where that one lady who had three or four milk cows, and the only time they're really confined is when they're being milked.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the Oregon's pushing the fact that
the one size fits all thing.
Right.
We're going to crack down. Glenn Archambault has his lambs, let's say, inside a barn for a little while. Well, it's confined, confined animal feedlot.
So far, everything I've read on their side of the aisle says that peri farming is good, meaning farming just outside of your city or your town, kind of thing. So you still have easy access to it. So if they're going to get rid of a lot of farmland or not get rid of it, more or less put farmers out of business and hold on to that land for the sake of creating a new Eden, we're going to substitute it with everything else that they talk about, including community school gardens, urban farming.
See, this sounds very much like the Cultural Revolution of China in the 1960s,
yes,
in which we're, going to, you're... The thing is, though, this does not replace industrial farming. It can't feed the number of people.
It won't. It won't feed it. Mm-hmm. But there are people in the wings. I'm going to just say Rogue Valley Food Network is waiting in the wings because currently right now, even though they consider Vision 2040 a living document ready for any changes that might come down through down the road, they do not talk about food. They talk about a relocalized economic system or relocalized food. But what they mean
But, some of that sounds pretty good, though.
Well, yeah.
Really.
A lot of it sounds good.
The idea. Now, I'm talking about just, practically. I had, there's some guy who complains on my Facebook page. I forget what his name was. But he was saying that, you know, why are you upset about, I think I'm going to paraphrase, why are you upset about them having the aquatic warehouse up in Northwest Medford, because you know what you're talking about with regional or with neighborhood pools would be like the 15-minute cities. Well, I'm just looking at a practical sort of thing, and having pools the kids walk to is one thing, but having the 15-minute city, the climate-friendly, equitable community in which we're going to be terraforming here, you know, buy your home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and that you will almost be prohibited from going much beyond your area. That's a lot different.
It is different.
From this whole idea of, oh, well, we have to drive over to the aquatic warehouse up in Northwest Medford. And I don't think these people that criticize these kind of talks that we're having really understand where this plan
is going.
Is going. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It always morphs into something worse. The point is, when at the very top, World Economic Forum's right-hand partner is ARUP, A-R-U-P. I mean, Glenn Beck even talks about it a little bit. And they give their priorities in what foods will be, you know, put on the chopping block, more or less. And they talk about how many calories you'll still be able to ingest currently and in the future, 2,700 calories. So, but they're going to have to come
from different. If you're 6 feet nine and 300 pounds of solid muscle, you're going to have trouble on 2,700.
Yeah. Even Glenn Beck said it that way. But yeah. I didn't want to get my sources from Glenn Beck. I wanted to go deeper than that. And of course, when you talk about dairy products, you're talking a whole lot of things. You're talking about butter, cheese, cottage cheese, you know, milks, different milk products.
Everything that makes life worth living, really.
Right, exactly. Anything to help you do it. A lot of laboratories are putting all this together. They've already made laboratory-produced milk, you know, milk thing. It's a powder. Mm-hmm. It's already in a lot of ice creams. So they're banking on making food a different type of commodity, not something we get from agricultural industries or from the farmland or from the dairies. We're going to get it from the laboratories.
Is this why you think there may be such a backdoor fight against individualized small-scale agriculture in the state of Oregon?
Right. You know, there are only two states in the United States that have legalistic definitions of the right to have a personal garden in your backyard. Mm-hmm. Not to say that a lot of the states prevent that. There's, you know, but I think it's a good idea to come up with something like that in Oregon, because the way Oregon is attacking agriculture, they're going to attack your backyard. That's the next step. They want you to go. And, of course, any food system that's partnering with every other aspect of this agenda, they'll want kind of a monopoly. They'll want you to come buy at your farmers markets. They want you to come donate your time in your community garden or your urban farmland. They want you to be connecting with everybody else. They don't want you private, individual endeavors are gone.
Well, communism doesn't want private,
that's right.
Individual.
That's right.
And this is kind of a reversion to communism.
That's the next step.
Which is the plan, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, well, let's look, what's going to happen with eggs? You know, eggs is a, you know, very essential ingredient in your kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I found that in Portland, you are allowed to have backyard animals, small ones, like egg-laying hens and that kind of thing. And so there are, at present, ways to get around the idea that they want to take these food supplements away from you.
For the time being.
For now, though.
Right.
But I would like to see the citizens come up with some type of initiative in order to secure our right to have our personal gardens.
All right. Might not be a bad idea, given where a lot of these hard left radicals want to take this system.
Yes.
Now, tonight, you're going to be speaking mostly on the food situation here as you see it, right?
I want to kind of review climate-friendly areas for people who haven't had an introduction or they've just heard about it.
And by the way, I'm reminded of it. It's Davey in Grants Pass who comments on the 15-minute city sort of thing or something. Davey, you need to go see what Diane's talking about and educate yourself on this. This is going to be tonight, 5:30 at the Central Point Library.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. And that's mostly this is mostly going to be a food education tonight.
It's mostly about the food for the future.
Yeah. The climate-friendly, equitable community / 15-minute city / climate prison city, whatever you want to call this, where that plan is going. Because they're actually quite open about it if you look in the right place.
Very open,
All right. So you'll be doing that. And so another educational seminar. I know you'll be part of the Patriots Conference 2 weeks from Saturday.
Yes, I'm looking so forward to it,
And is that going to be like you're going to bring your PowerPoints?
Yes. Holly told me I'd have a half hour to do that. And then almost all the speakers will have a table where people can come in the activity room and get more information.
All right. Yeah. And that's going to be 2 weeks from Saturday. And we'll check in every now and then. I hope you have a great turnout for tonight's deal.
Thank you so much for having me.
Find out more. And if so you're looking at then that finding a way to make sure that we guarantee our ability to individually farm, garden, and things like that is something that would be a good thing. This is kind of a shot across the bow, an action plan
the one action plan I would like to get together with people and see what we could do to get a measure like that on the ballot 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's too late now, but things like that, having it written in black and white and having the voters vote on something that makes it,
it's tangible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's supposed to be. 24 Division, it came through regional government. It came through executive orders.
You're talking Medford Vision 2040, right?
Yes. Well, Medford Vision, the Department of Land Conservation and Development came up with smart codes. They more or less adopted them, and the form-based codes back in 2022, real recently. Mm-hmm.
It's not that long ago.
2020.
Yeah.
Very recently. And they targeted eight metro areas in Oregon in order to enact these codes.
And let me guess, Southern Oregon's one of them.
Southern Oregon was divided into two metropolitan regions. Middle Rogue includes Grants Pass, Rogue River, and Gold Hill.
Okay.
So they don't look at the Jackson County, Josephine County border. They're looking at a metro region called Middle Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I even have a map on that tonight so people can see it. In the Rogue Valley metro region goes from Central Point to Ashland. So that's how the state wanted to target
all those. That's how the state views us.
Yes.
Okay.
They wanted to target the Southern Oregon small communities that had populations of less than 10,000 people. So they included us as metro regions. So we can understand that Portland, Salem, Eugene, Bend, all those were a little bit larger. Now, the reason they called it Medford, put it in the Medford website, was because Medford had a population of over 50,000 people. And people would assume that, this is just going to happen in Medford. No, it's targeted for every city. In fact, Land Conservation Development put out a study for each one of those cities. And you can go online and download them. And I'm copying some of them just so you can see where to go to look for the study that was done for climate-friendly areas for your town.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Diane, that's tonight, 5:30, Central Point Library, and it's when this meeting is going to be. It's free. Go and get educated if you are not familiar with anything that we've been talking about here so far. To me, striking at the root, though, ultimately, is the repeal of Senate Bill 100, which gave rise to all of these administrations.
Right.
All of these agencies, these administrative agencies. And why do you think there'd be so much resistance to this coming from people? Do people just not understand what a deleterious effect on their property rights has been foisted upon them? And they're so used to swimming in the garbage that they can't see it anymore? Is that where we are?
it always, there was one gentleman that came to one of my earlier meetings about a year ago, and he said, you know, before tonight, I saw all these separate little individual things happening in our state, in our community. And he said, they look like just separate little individual pushing to get our property, changing our education, whatever it might be.
Right.
But he didn't. He said, I never realized till tonight that it's one whole package together. It is a holistic, organic, integrated system. So whether you're talking about the city of Medford having the rights to go and account for every preschool, whether it's private or public, and then give that information to some stakeholder that they don't mention who they are, that's in the 2040 vision. So that has nothing to do with bicycle lanes, reducing, making sure that your communities are, everything that you need is within a 20-minute walking distance.
But it is all connected.
But it's all connected.
It's
that's
all, connected.
All the same vision, the same vision.
Interesting. And yeah. So the same idiots and the same policies that bring the bollards to downtown Medford with the, the road diet there is the same thing that brings the climate-friendly, equitable community. It's the same thing which brings the pervs in the school sort of situation.
Right,
it's all connected.
It's all connected in one vision. And the reason they call it 2040 is because they're counting from the year 1990. And I don't know why 1990, because I thought it was 1991 that Oregon was the first state to adopt Goals 2000. And that Goals 2000 was renamed the Oregon Educational Act for the 21st century, and it reinvented government.
Before you take off here.
Okay.
Yeah, before you take off, Diane.
Okay.
I was talking with Brad Bennington. And
yes.
You wanted to weigh in on that a little bit because he was talking about how the trades, when it comes to employment, are actually a better way to go right now. And he's right logically. But there is a status problem with it, though. Is there not that the trades have not yet addressed? I don't know how you go about
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, I did a meeting on the global education futures. And, we're pretty near Menlo Park, and they had a big play in this, what the fourth industrial revolution was that Klaus Schwab talks about is. And what it is seven different categories of industrialized careers, ITC, information technology, and it even includes agriculture, too, by the way, as a industrial career path. So I see three different things. I see green jobs, which only would require the study of fundamental literacy, just enough to know your job. That's all you need.
You have a pulse. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you only need to be able to read what you're going to, so you can keep your job.
Okay.
And then they don't want you to have a job or a career that goes out 30, 40 years where you're going to acquire some type of retirement in the end. You're never going to retire. What they want to do is break it up. And this comes from the head of Notre Dame back in the 70s, that you'll be required to have six or seven different careers. And that's why a school or a global online learning system will say, well, no, your next step of getting your next micro-credential is to go to this way.
Boy, first microaggressions and then micro-credentials. Gosh, I can't wait.
Micro-credentials, yeah. I mean, the vision talks about micro-credentialing. Yeah.
Well, you know, this kind of goes into what I was talking about with Dr. Powers yesterday and how they're getting rid of the requirement to pass the bar to be a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
This is also kind of connected in a strange way.
Yeah.
The breaking down of standard in order to,
Right.
We don't want too many professionals except the super professional elite that will end up pulling the strings.
I think teachers should have their ears wide open, because if you think you're still going to be teaching certain subjects, especially history and literature, the non-sciences, you won't have much of a future, because according to Klaus Schwab and Menlo Park and the rest of them, you only need the teachers for the Industrial Revolution. If you want those extracurricular activities, history, literature, music, art.
Knowing about the Founding Fathers, that's going to be an elective. You have to do that on your own, right?
Law.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Got it. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you, interesting conversation as always, Diane. So tonight, 5:30, Central Point
Correct.
Library, and you'll continue this. And it'll be a focus on food, where the elite mealworm pushers wish to take it, okay? Mealworm, the Klaus Schwab type thing. Good talk, okay?
Okay, thank
Once
you
again,
so
the book,
much.
The book, Who Made American Schools Marxist Training Centers? Heavily footnoted, very deep read. And no, you're not just going to be able to read it in the bathroom. You're going to have to devote some time to it.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a resource book.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
All right, Diane Anderson, 839 KMED KCMD.
The McPherson Agency and Farmers Insurance are known for helping with auto and home insurance needs, but we can also help with many business, bonding, and life insurance options. Hi, it's Megan McPherson, your local Farmers Insurance agent. My team and I would love the opportunity to offer a comprehensive review of your current policies. Give our office a call at 541-776-0673. Or stop by our office. A straightforward and personalized approach is what you'll get when you choose me, Megan McPherson, as your local Farmers Insurance agent.
The Row Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op, and if you want to go organic, hey, that's great. However,
see, organic fertilizers are not ready to use by the plant. They have to be worked on by soil bacteria to break them down into a usable form. It has to be in contact with the soil, and better if it's a couple, an inch or two down.
Call the Row Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon and catch the Sunday morning encore at 9 on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
Saving big, I can dig on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley truckloads of money over the years on things you buy and use often. All Beauty Mark salon certificates are half off. Also, save big on Diner 62, Malello's Coffee, and Freddy's Diner. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
The Artisan Bakery Cafe is your go-to for all things delicious. From salad wraps to fresh baked breads and soups, pop by and enjoy a cardamom vanilla latte or peaches and cream white mocha. Delicious taste sensations that can't be beat. Artisan Bakery will make the perfect sandwich or pastry tray for your next event, party, celebration, or occasion. So many fresh baked goodies just waiting for you. Stop by 1325 Center Drive or visit artisanbakerymedford.com. Also, order on DoorDash.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
If you haven't gone to Artisan Bakery Cafe, by the way, you're missing out on that. I ended up buying some of those coupons, or not the coupons, but the cards they had on OregonEDeals.com. And if you haven't gone to OregonEDeals.com, you can find all sorts of great discounts on those sort of places, including American Rancher Garage and a whole bunch more. This way you can save money. Everybody wins. You advertise for these wonderful local businesses, whether it's bakery or they're wrenching or they're doing electrical work or appliance repair, all this kind of stuff. And you can find that and more, OregonEDeals.com. 841, let me go to Ann. Hello, Ann. You wanted to comment on what Diane was talking about, the interesting focus on redirecting us, our palate, to a different direction for sustainability, as it were. Go ahead.
Yeah. About 6 weeks ago, somebody pulled into my front parking lot, a woman in a car, and she sat there. So I went out and asked her what was going on. She says, "Oh, I came to do a survey." And I looked at her and I said, "Oh, really? Welcome to communism."
A survey? Well, what kind of a survey was it? Do you know, or did you just throw her out?
No, no. I threw her off the property.
Really? Oh.
Yes. She was so nebulous and so misdirected. I don't know what in the world she was doing, but I live far enough out on Table Rock that I have land. And she looked really suspicious, and I said, "Get off my property." I threw her off.
Oh, good for you. I just kind of, so she wouldn't really admit what she was surveying for?
No. Hmm. No, and of course, my antennas went up abruptly, and my radar went off, and I said, "Get off my property."
All right.
And she looked at me real funny. She said, "Oh, you don't want to do the survey?"
Well,
I said,
you know what you should have done though. Next time that happens though, engage with them, okay, and engage and report on what they're asking about, so people know. Because, you know, it may be something where we need to make sure that people recognize where the leftism is coming from, okay?
And Daddy used to say the only way to settle bad times is you need a hell of a good depression. And I think we have to go farther than that. I think we have to make them assume room temperature.
Yeah. Right. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Ann. Let me go to Bob. Hello, Bob, on the egg and chicken thing. Fire away.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Our eggs and our chickens are safe in our backyards in Medford for the time being.
Good.
A few years back, Medford passed a banned chicken ordinance in backyards. And there was a cadre of about four or five ladies. I call them the chicken ladies. Mm-hmm. And they showed up at multiple city council meetings repeatedly with, you know, elementary school grade storyboards explaining the benefits of backyard chickens. And along with their prodding of city council and I think some community pushback, the city of Medford actually reversed their ordinance and they do allow backyard chickens.
But what would be interesting, what would be really interesting, though, would be to go with, do what Diane was talking about and do a measure, a citizen initiative, to put it in the code. In other words, the people put it in the code rather than something that a city council, because what the city council passes, the city council could rescind under political pressure. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just saying. So it would be interesting to code it, encode it ourselves in the ordinances here by We the People. Appreciate the call, though. Thanks for making it. All right. Let me go to line three. Hi, who's this? Go ahead.
Hey, it's Super Dave off in Iona, Idaho.
Dave in Idaho, fire away. What's up?
All right. So this is a little bit of a conspiracy theory Thursday thing.
Even if it is Tuesday.
With the chickens.
Yeah.
So a lot of places do the, you can have chickens in your backyard. The interesting thing is, though, you cannot have roosters. If you have a rooster with your hens, you have a perpetual food supply.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will make fertile eggs, and you can hatch those eggs. Otherwise, you're genetically modified, sort of, because you can't take a nice cantaloupe that you buy at the store today, save those seeds, and plant them in your garden because they've been genetically modified. Without a rooster, you can't perpetuate your chickens, and if the hens ever go away, that you can't buy them.
And naturally, the reason they don't want roosters in the city, though, is because of the noise factor.
It is, yeah.
Can you denoise a rooster? Just curious.
I'm sure that you can.
Uh-huh.
And when I get mine, I will.
All right, thanks, Super Dave. Good hearing from you from the land of the free in Idaho. Let me go to line four, and that'll be it before we do a Diner 62 quiz. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. This is Brad with the SLM.
Brad, SLM, fire away. What's up?
Hey, man. I've got some exciting information about lawyers.
Okay. What's that?
The SLM is a quiet riot. We do a lot of deep background checks on industries. We're studying Oregon lawyers right now. And what's not known, unless you are one, that they are being directed to not lay on a sandy beach on a warm, sunny day. Do you know why?
No, I'm afraid to ask why, but go ahead.
Yeah, because cats will come by and bury them.
You know, I needed a palate cleanser, okay? I love it. Thanks, brother.
There you go, brother.
All right. Let's do another palate cleanser while we're at it. Dad joke. We need another dad joke right now. In fact, dad joke today is sponsored, as always, by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford, the local dealer for Iron Bull trailers made by Northstar. And they have a new line of Northstar trailers and Delco trailers. Tons of trailers in stock and priced right in 10, 12, 14, and 20 footers. Tilt and dump trailers, too, okay? Repair work, they do that all. TwoDogsFab.com. You can also submit your dad joke there. And Doug made me laugh because I was talking about Sasquatch with Greg Roberts the other day. He says, Bill, Bigfoot is sometimes confused with Sasquatch. Yeti never complains. Ooh. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate that. Submit your joke, twodogsfab.com, 847. And when I return here in a number of minutes, we're going to have the Diner 62 Real American Quiz, some history from today in 1942. 770-563-3. $20 gift certificate for you. All I ask is that you have not won this in the last 30 days, and in 60 days rather, and you could win it next.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
Do you have an electrical checklist that needs to be completed? Call Completed Electric Plus. Need an exterior all-weather plug-in installed? Completed. A motion sensor light in your entry, pantry, or laundry room? Completed. Too many appliances tripping your breaker? Completed. RV outlet on the side of the house? Completed. Electrical jobs get completed quickly, expertly, and affordably with licensed techs from Completed Electric Plus, specializing in residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
Fraudulent tax returns due identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Their U.S.-based restoration specialist are dedicated to helping solve identity theft issues, and all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which means if you lose money because of identity theft, a LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan. Help protect your information with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com and save up to 25% your first year with my name, Clay, as your promo code.
Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show. 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
Diner 62. They have two pork chops with eggs, another incredible special right now on the weekends. And I had one the other week, and it was just delicious. And avocado available on their burgers, omelets, salads, you name it. It's like Avocado 62. Diner 62, just south of White City. Wonderful, wonderful diner. By the way, my apologies. I ended up accidentally hanging up on a like two or three people as I was going through the lines. My apologies. I'll try to make it up for you, but we'll just have to take the calls as they come. And so we're going to go first to Phil. Hello, Phil. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Phil, we're talking about today, April 9th, 1942. Troops surrender in Bataan, Philippines, in the largest ever U.S. surrender. It was a tough, tough day, okay? It was April 9th, 1942. Major General Edward P. King Jr. surrenders at Bataan against General Douglas MacArthur's orders. And 78,000 troops, we're talking 66,000 Filipinos and 12,000 Americans, the largest contingent of U.S. soldiers ever to surrender, are taken captive by the Japanese. Bataan Death March began the next day, and they started marching up the east coast of Bataan. And although they didn't know it, their destination was Camp O'Donnell, north of the peninsula. Now, Phil, the men already really weakened by hunger and disease, they suffered unspeakably during the march. Regardless of their conditions, POWs who could not continue to keep up with the pace were executed. Even stopping to relieve yourself or drink muddy water, it could kill you for that too. And so many chose to continue walking while relieving themselves. POWs marched roughly 65 miles over the course of about 6 days until they reached San Fernando. And there, groups as large as 115 men were forced into boxcars designed to hold only 30 to 40. Boxcars so full of POWs they couldn't sit down. This caused more to die of heat exhaustion and suffocation. The POWs then walked 7 more miles to Camp O'Donnell. The question here is how many of the 12,000 American troops died just on that trip to Camp O'Donnell? Pretty serious stuff. I mean, you know, we think we got problems today, Phil. I mean, that's real struggle, you know? So was it 600, 900, 1,200, 1,800, or 2,400 men? How many Americans died just getting to Camp O'Donnell?
What was the third one?
Third one was 1,200. Did you want it to be the third one, 1,200?
Can I get them again? I'm sorry.
Okay. 600, 900, 1200, 1800, or 2400. How many?
2400.
No, it was less than that. All right. Appreciate the call, though. Let me go to line one. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Hello? Got to jump in.
It's Jack. Oh, this is Jack, Bill.
Okay, Jack. 600, 900, 1200, or 1800. How many American troops of the 12,000 died on the trip to Camp O'Donnell? The Bataan Death March. 900? Nope, wasn't 900 either, but I appreciate you trying. 770-5633. We're down to three. So 900, 2400. And who's this? Good morning.
Phil. It's Phil back again.
Okay, the different Phil, the Phil I hung up on accidentally. All right. 600, right. 600, 1,200, or 1,800. How many of the 12,000 American troops died on the trip to Camp O'Donnell? And I'm going to give you a hint.
Unlike most of your quizzes, this is a pure guess. So I'm going to have to say 1,800.
1,800. No, it wasn't that either. Sorry about that. I was going to give you a hint, but you weren't listening. All right? Okay. I'll give you another shot because I'm almost out of time. Say 600.
Say 600.
Yeah, okay. 600. Sometimes, Phil, you just win because I'm out of time. All right?
Well, I'll take it. Thank you.
All right. Hang on, Phil. We'll give you the win for that. It's been reported that at least 5 and up to 18,000 Filipinos died. Most reports settled at around 600 American deaths during this march. The death marchers received almost no water, no food. And at the entrance to the camp, I just wanted to make sure that people know how these prisoners suffered, right? At the entrance to the camp, the POWs were told to lay out the few possessions they still had. Any POW found with any Japanese-made items or money executed on the spot. And after the war, the International Military Tribunal, established by MacArthur, tried Lieutenant General Hama Masahara, commander of the Japanese invasion forces in the Philippines. He was held responsible for the death march, a war crime, executed by firing squad on April 3rd, 1946. So there we go. A Diner 62 quiz, pretty serious stuff, but it was history that we really should know.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty around. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
2x4, 2x8, who do we appreciate? Hughes Lumber, Hughes Lumber. Tweedledee, Tweedledum, the carpenter just hit his thumb. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, what lumberyard has the best repertoire? Hughes Lumber, Hughes Lumber. Mary had a little lamb, but it needed fencing from the ram. She also needed a brand new barn, but only one company has the charm. So when it comes to lumber, what's your choice? Say Hughes Lumber and rejoice on Crater Lake Highway, Hughes Lumber.
The tax laws have changed. Do you understand them? If you need a licensed tax professional to prepare your income tax return, then call Pat Hurley at 774-1040. 774-1040. Wow, what an easy number.
Hi, I'm Randall from Advanced Air, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
It is 8:56. We'll do a couple of emails of the day. We'll have some more for tomorrow. Emails of the day. That's sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry. And by the way, if you need special toothpastes or mouthwashes, water picks, things like that, he'll sell them to you at his cost. No profit involved, man, at all. He wants you to take care of yourself. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. It's next door to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant in Central Point. Okay? All right. Had Dale write me this morning, and Dale from Medford saying, Bill, about the greenies here, you know, there's a dog treat known as the greenies, and they're meant to keep a dog's teeth in good condition. My dog Star eats one greenie for lunch every day, so all greenies should be aware. But concerning your conversation with George Sexton, the KS Wild Greenie, I found a lot of what he had to say garbage. Doesn't really have the history of the timber industry in this area. He seems to lack a lot of the history of the area before he arrived here, and to try to tell us who have a long history here how to do things. This is the big mistake the Peace Corps makers around the world made, trying to tell people how to do things a better way and to what end. Destruction of culture, countries, and the world. Just my opinion from what I have observed. Okay? And let me see if I... Oh, here we go. Butch writes me, Bill, I'm not sure who idea it was, But I question the wisdom of turning our fertile farmland in the Rogue Valley into subdivisions and protecting the star thistle-ridden surrounding hills. We lost the Seven Oaks farm as a food source. They couldn't afford the labor to continue and are doing much better growing hay and alfalfa. Government needs to bend over backwards to maintain our existing farms. We're going to need them to survive. You could be right about that ultimately, but it does seem strange that we really should have been building in the hills all along, but we all congregated on top of some of the best farmland. Was that really smart in the whole idea? All right. And Terry in Wairika says, Bill, you asked, let me see if I can get this right here, okay? You asked if California and or Oregon will finally clean up this horrible disaster that's been forced upon us with the dam removal. My answer is definitely no. Absolutely nothing will be done unless we can get some honest media coverage. I actually sent emails to Jesse Waters and Sean Hannity without any response. If they did check into the dam removals, as Captain Bill said, they'll only see articles in favor and nothing covering the destruction of the river, the animal or plant life, let alone the future health issues for those of us living or visiting this area. We need to introduce the national news to Captain Bill. Any ideas? I will consult my pillow on that, and I don't know. This may be just an intentional repression of this because, you know, this is much probably bigger than any of us, but we'll talk more tomorrow, okay? Thanks.